The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Hamjambo.
Tunashukuru sana kwa sababu yenu kuja hapa. We are very much overwhelmed.
Sababu kuu yetu kuwaita hapa.
Last week, bibi yangu waliweza kulazwa hospitalini.
Wewe, ulituita hapa kula mbuzi au ni harambe?
Harambe.
Tulieni, tulieni. Bili ya hospitali tushalipa. People, bibi, bibi, people. Niko na backup.
Jiwekee backup ya maisha yako leo. Weka pesa katika KCB M-Pesa account. Unavyozidi kuweka na kutoa pesa, ndivyo kiwango chako cha loan kinavyozidi kuongezeka.
Hii backup ni kitu gani?
Kuweka au kutoa M-Pesa kwa KCB ni free. Je, umejibackup?
Financial technology, or fintech, is one of the fastest growing industries in the world today, with New York, London, Tel Aviv, Edinburgh, Singapore, Moscow, and other major cities all vying for a piece of the action. Welcome to Breaking Banks, the first dedicated radio show that focuses on how this new boom is changing everything, from the way we bank to the very concept of money itself. Now, here's your host, Brett King.
This week, Breaking Banks comes to you from one of the hottest proving grounds for fintech on the planet.
You're worth the light. Your perfect light.
No, it's not New York, Hong Kong, Singapore, London, or even Shanghai. But it is a country where fintech has created the largest shift in financial inclusion ever in the history of the financial system. Have you figured it out? This week, we're on the African continent. It might appear like an unlikely place for the leading fintech use cases in the world, but Kenya, the home of M-Pesa, which is the Swahili word for money or mobile money effectively, is where we've seen the evolution of the most prolific mobile bank account on the planet. That's in terms of percentage of the population affected, because we know what's happening in China, Alibaba, Alipay, and WeChat, you know, they've got hundreds of millions. But in terms of pure percentage of the population affected, Kenya is the place where it's at. At this point, let's welcome back a regular contributor to the show, Jim Morales from the Digital Banking Report and the Financial Brand. Now, he was recently in Kenya speaking at the Dot Finance Africa event, and he got to see firsthand where Kenya was at with its adoption of mobile money. Jim, welcome back to Breaking Banks.
Hey, it's great to be here. Yeah, I was in Kenya just a while ago, and as you said, it is all inclusive, where you just, as you're going down the road, you'll see little shops, little everything, and everywhere you look, you see the M-Pesa sign. And it's interesting also that despite the fact that, you know, in the United States, we consider our banking system to be really among the most advanced in the world, Kenya really beats us in almost every measure in terms of mobile banking adoption, usage, and commerce, in terms of both mobile access to financial services and the impact of fintech on the Kenyan economy. The US, UK, Australia, Germany, they're not even close. We're not even close to what this country is doing in the population of only 45 million.
Yeah, it's incredible. Now, to understand the impact of fintech, you know, on the Kenyan economy, we must look at the history of banking in Kenya and why its effects are so pronounced. Now, Kenya's banking system started about 120 years ago. But as you're going to hear from some of the leading figures in Kenya's banking system, after 120 years, less than 30% of the Kenyan adult population had a bank account. Now, Kenya's branch density was about the same as Singapore's, but it just didn't make a dent in the inclusion stakes.
Well, you know what? As I understood it, in an environment that allowed almost every adult in Kenya to get a bank account was a regulator or mobile operator that saw a single problem and a simple solution. And it didn't start out as a revolution or anything to change banking. It simply started out as a way to move money from the big cities in Nairobi up country.
I'm here with Bob Collymore, the CEO of Safaricom, who is the creator of M-Pesa, one of the best-known mobile money capabilities globally today, and it started here in Kenya some 10 years ago. So tell me about the highlights of M-Pesa's progress in Kenya over the last 10 years, Bob?
Well, look, I mean, I've been involved in the company for 10 years, actually. So I was here when the product launched. There's a lot of resistance, actually, even from our own distribution base at the time, because people couldn't kind of see it, and they couldn't see how they could make money out of this. In the 6 years that I've been here, we've more than doubled our customer base. We're currently sitting at about 22 million customers out of a total mobile customer base of about 26 million. Now, if you take the population of Kenya as being 4 to 5 million, half of whom are adults, you can see we're capturing pretty much every adult in the country. We are transmitting probably about the equivalent of 40% of the country's GDP through the system. And, you know, at peak, we're doing about 600 transactions per second, which is faster and more voluminous than any other banking system.
Now, Jim, we'll ask Bob about the resistance he faced a little later. But what did you think of those stats? Virtually every adult in Kenya has used M-Pesa in the last 10 years. That's incredible.
You know, it's a phenomenal stat. At about 600 transactions per second, that's around 9 to 10% of Visa's global network transaction volume. So he's right about the volume aspects of M-Pesa. I'm really interested in the financial inclusion aspects of this as well. Was this by design, or was it just an unintended consequence of M-Pesa's success?
Well, very good question. This is exactly the question I wanted to ask the governor of the Central Bank of Kenya, Dr. Patrick Nyoge. He's a real celebrity in Kenya. He spent two decades at the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and he's led Kenya to dollar stability and to dollar reserves of almost $7 billion. There's another, I think, $800 million in available funds from the IMF as well. Now, he's famous in the press for rejecting all the typical trappings of government that is commonplace on the African continent. He downsized the fleet of cars at his disposal. And recently, when he went to Davos, he traveled in economy class.
I can't even imagine you doing that.
Oh, yes, thanks, Jim. Listen, I do want to say in my defense, there's no truth to the rumor that I only know how to turn left when I get on an airplane.
Yeah, but I do remember you saying when we flew together recently, do people actually want to sit back in that part of the plane?
Okay, dude. All right, so let's get back onto it. Now, Dr. Nyoge, he's a member of this mysterious Opus Dei faction of the Catholic Church. You might remember Opus Dei was the organization at the center of Dan Brown's novel, which was adapted to film, called The Da Vinci Code. Now, he reportedly donates most of his salary to the church and to various charities on the continent. For this reason, Dr. Nyoge, he's not only celebrated as a model public servant in a continent where government corruption is often a given, but he's also been a hell of a bank regulator, really showing the rest of the world how to think laterally about the issue of financial inclusion. When you meet him, he's super humble. He's obviously very well read. He was quoting Thomas Friedman, Michael Lewis, and Malcolm Gladwell in our meeting. So I asked him, was M-Pesa's success, as Jim asked, an accident, or was it by design? Here's what Dr. Patrick Nyoge, the governor of the Central Bank of Kenya, had to say.
Thanks, Brett. It's nice to talk to you about financial inclusion and indeed fintech more generally. M-Pesa is really the first of products in the fintech space that really changed the way we do business in terms of banking. And it was in the first instance a sort of a transfer of funds between two individuals, you know, a system that allowed that. And I think the point here is that the innovators presented a sort of a proposal to the regulator, and in this case, the Central Bank of Kenya. And there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, going back and forth, looking at the objectives of, in this case, making the transfer in a safe environment, and at the same time, looking at how to minimize the risks that may be implied. So it is actually a product that came into being after the original idea, but then sort of refined. So in that sense, there is a design element. It's always important, but I think it is important to understand that really we began from looking at the objectives, in a sense, first principles, and then building on that and providing a product that actually was able to provide the transaction in a safe environment.
I like that idea of first principles. I might use that. Now, at the start of the M-Pesa rollout, there was some resistance from the banks. But when we look globally at fintech, one of the challenges regulators are facing is how do they get these new fintechs and these new and these traditional players, the banks, to play nice together. Now, that's happened on top of the M-Pesa network. So as a regulator, how did you stimulate this type of cooperation between the banks and these new players?
Good question, Brett. Really, the challenge is not so much in understanding new ideas. I think the challenge for everyone is escaping from the old ideas that they are sort of entrenched in. So, and it's tougher to change. Change isn't always comfortable. And I think this is what was clear in this exercise. The point here was appealing to the final consumer. It's the final consumer that actually voted with their feet, or in this case, with their wallet, saw the product and indeed sought out the product and saw that it was useful for what they were doing. And the growth was, in a sense, you know, just astronomic. And I think that's what then made everyone else see, all other institutions, that this is something that is obviously that has caught on, but it wasn't just fashionable. It was something. It was providing a specific service, which they could also provide. So they have got onto the bandwagon. So I think it is more the consumer. And again, it's not banks. It's not the middleman that decides. It's really, at the end of the day, it's the consumer sees a product that actually provides specific services that they want and then wants to adopt that product.
Now, the technology has been a great leveler. So my final question to you is, for a young entrepreneur in Kenya, how would you encourage them to keep this innovation cycle going? You know, what do you think's next for Kenya?
I wish I could have a crystal ball and look at it and tell you what would be next and all that. But I mean, more generally, I think the first thing is we expect a lot of new products, products that are aimed at the consumer. I think there is no shortage of ideas of new widgets, apps, and all those other things. But a lot of them may be just focused on what I can do as an innovator, but not the consumer. So you need to understand what the consumer wants. I think that's the fundamental thing. What is it? What is the gap that you are filling or your product will fill? Now, from my perspective, there are a lot of products that are needed in terms of, or there are gaps in the area of various consumer services. I've talked before about savings products. I've talked before about insurance products. I've talked before about health products. I've talked before about products that would help smallholder farmers. Those are spaces that are virtually infinite in terms of have infinite need. And that's where I think the entrepreneurs need to come and fill those gaps. Now, from their perspective, I think it is important to encourage them, that is the entrepreneurs, meaning they should not feel that there is only one product that will fill that space. Oh, no, no, no. And I think it's only the limit really is their own ingenuity. And from that perspective, I'm very glad that Kenya has a rather deep pool of innovators, people who are interested and are actually in touch with the ultimate consumer. So, yeah, let's stand back. Let's see how things go. Of course, the regulator will always be there. All these things need to be put in a context of a safe environment, minimizing risks so that actually the products work well. So, yes, you do need that. And therefore, the innovators need to work closely with the regulators. But, yeah, I think the sky's the limit.
So M-Pesa has really changed a lot of the banking system today in Kenya. That's certainly clear. I like how you talked about the first principles in your Bank 4.0 speech that you did in Hong Kong the other week. But it's clear that M-Pesa is actually one of those first principles who take on financial services. It isn't trying to fit a debit card into a feature phone. It has actually become something else and has taken the whole Kenyan economy and banking system along with it. As Dr. Norje said, though, change isn't always comfortable. It has been well documented that the big banks in Kenya tried aggressively to limit the take-up of M-Pesa and put a lot of pressure on the regulator to rein in the mobile money initiative in the early days. Has that environment changed? Are banks now believers in M-Pesa?
Well, it's well documented, Jim, that the banks were pretty resistant to M-Pesa in those early days. In fact, you know, when I was with Dr. Nyoge, he said they did try to get the central bank to shut down M-Pesa in its early days. But as you hear from him, he saw an opportunity to fix the problem of money movement for a wide swathe of the Kenyan population in a way, frankly, that the banks really couldn't do. So he didn't favor the incumbents. And what happened next was the really interesting part.
You know, for us, we've had many fights with M-Pesa.
That's Joshua Ogara, the CEO of the oldest bank in Kenya, KCB, or Kenyan Commercial Bank. Now, this is a bank founded in 1896. Originally, it opened as a branch office for the National Bank of India in Mombasa. In 120 years, KCB has established one of the largest banks on the African continent, and have had over 4 million customers in Kenya alone, or close to 4 million. That's around 10% of the population. But those fights with M-Pesa? Well, here's Bob Collymore again from Safaricom.
Well, banks saw it as a threat, but more recently, banks have increasingly started to see it as complementary to what they want to do. We now work in collaboration with about 40 different banks, and we have some deeper relationships with a couple of banks. One is the Commercial Bank of Africa, and the second is the Kenya Commercial Bank, KCB, with whom we started to really deepen financial inclusion to give people access to microloans, micro savings, and you can now save from as little as $0.01 for one transaction, which is cheaper than you can do. Actually, I don't think you can do it in any banking system, frankly.
So M-Pesa became ubiquitous, not only because it was cheaper, but because it took friction out of the problem of money movement. As Joshua Ogara explains, it was fairly inevitable that Safaricom, the telco that runs M-Pesa and KCB, would come together.
You know, Safaricom and KCB are the two largest organizations in East Africa. And so we always fight. But when you took this job two years ago, my vision is that we were not delivering the experience the customers were asking us to. So we are stuck in the traditional asking customers to come to the branch. And I wanted an account where you can use your mobile device to get the services. So when we started then, we had a target to be 2.5 million customers in 1 year. By the end of 1 year, we had reached 7.5 million customers. So we had kind of broken all the ground rules that we set up for ourselves. So we didn't even have a scorecard anymore, which we had set for ourselves. So our credit products, we've done $180 million so far. So what I would say overall, the experience has brought in a new opportunity, Brett, for our business. So we've been limited internally with a number of, in terms of the systems we have. But I would say what I love most about our partnership is to see a customer, and this is a real experience for me, a customer far away in Mombasa, a lady who has never had a chance to engage with the bank, who sells groceries, come to see me and say, you changed my life because now I have dignity. I can get my $10, $10, $20. I don't have to go to the bank. I can buy my products. I can sell them, make my margin, and make my life. That is, for that kind of lady, and this is a lady who was probably medium age, never had a chance to go to the bank. It is those changes that give credibility of the plan for us to push the experience forward.
As Brett mentioned earlier, and as you're going to hear from CEO of KCB, before M-Pesa, just 27% of the Kenyan population had access to banking. Today, as I found out, almost every adult can do basic banking on this SIM application on a feature phone. As the CEO of KCB said, this has given customers dignity. It's given them the ability to safely move money around but it also has changed the utility of the money. Keep in mind that for almost 80% of M-Pesa customers, they never have to visit a branch in their life.
Yeah, they don't have to ever again, really. Let's hear again from Bob Collymore from Safaricom. And I asked him how M-Pesa has been an enabler for those customers. How do they use those SIM cards that act as a proxy for a bank account in the ecosystem? Now, Safaricom, it should be pointed out, didn't start with the objective of building a bank on a mobile phone. It started out as something much simpler. I asked Bob Collymore about the limitations of only depositing up to $1,000 in an M-Pesa wallet and whether that was a problem for some customers.
Yeah, because, you know, M-Pesa does a couple of things. It is safer, it is more secure, and it's cheaper. And so people who want to move money up country, they would put the money, lodge their money onto M-Pesa, onto a SIM card. And because they're scared of being robbed, and if you're robbed and you have your phone and your SIM card taken away, or indeed if you're taken at gunpoint, then what they do is they sew a number of their SIM cards into their clothing. So when they get to the other end, they still have the equivalent of $1,000 in each one of those SIM cards.
Now, I heard another story. I don't know whether you've heard this, but in some of the villages up country, people can't afford to have multiple mobile phones. So they share a mobile phone for the village, but everyone has their SIM card. Is this apocryphal or is this a real story?
No, it is a real story because mobile penetration, it's getting better and smartphone penetration is getting better, but there's still pockets where people don't have the phone. But actually, you know, I can give you some more interesting stories. So if you take the refugee camps, for example, we've been working with the World Food Program to deliver food aid as an electronic voucher onto a SIM card. Now, where the refugee doesn't have a phone, but they do have a SIM card, they simply pop the SIM into the phone of the shopkeeper, do the transaction, and take the SIM back out.
Boy, those are some really interesting use cases there, Brett. It's certainly a really different ecosystem than we're used to here in the United States. So how does M-Pesa work on the street?
Well, actually, I went into Safaricom outlet and I gave them my passport information and I signed up for a SIM card on the spot so I could transact on M-Pesa.
So wait, you gave them your passport details?
That's a really interesting side point, Jim. The various central banks around Africa, the Middle East and elsewhere that are overseeing the implementation of these M-Pesa variants in their countries, the reason they don't have an issue with the KYC or know your customer requirements for M-Pesa is Safaricom's processes tend to be even more stringent of those opening a bank account, especially in terms of auditability. And so, you know, the passport process is an example of that. But let's get back to my downtown Nairobi experience with M-Pesa.
You now have an M-Pesa account. So we are depositing this cash into your M-Pesa account. And from there, you can either send the money, buy airtime from M-Pesa, or yeah, send to someone, withdraw if you want it in physical cash. That's what she's currently doing it.
Now, any M-Pesa agent can do this process for me?
Yes, they can. They have been empowered to do all this we are doing over here.
Now, this was all done on a simple, straightforward Nokia feature phone. I was using my iPhone 7 Plus, but the agent was on an old Nokia 3110 or something. I can't recall the exact model, but it was old. It was really basic, but that doesn't slow down the system at all. Here's Eddie Nadisha, the head of KCB's new fintech business, Vuma, explaining the incredible success and scope of M-Pesa's agent network in greater detail.
Eddie? So all the 200,000 agents that allow you to be able to deposit money into the M-Pesa wallet or withdraw money from the M-Pesa wallet is, to put it to perspective, more than all bank branches for all banks plus all bank ATMs plus all bank agents for all banks, not just in Kenya, but in East Africa, is less than 200,000.
So after getting my M-Pesa SIM card, I deposited 4,100 Kenyan shillings onto my SIM in the Safaricom store. But I could have really done that at any of the 200,000 M-Pesa agents that operate across Kenya.
What I want to do now is to deposit the cash that you've given me, and in exchange you get the e-money. So like I showed you in the menu before, you come to customer services. This time I'm doing a deposit. So every time you go to an M-Pesa agent, you need to identify yourself.
You need to carry my passport?
Yes, you need to carry your passport every time. You confirm with the agent, do you have enough float to deposit? Because you can come with a lot of money, but I don't have the e-money. Maybe you want to deposit 50,000, maybe I have 20. So it's always good to confirm before doing the transaction. Likewise, if you're doing a withdrawal, you also need to confirm. So this time I'm doing the deposit. Every M-Pesa agent has a book like this, where they record every transaction. I will ask for your number. And in this
case, as well as putting it on the phone, right? They have it a digital record and a physical record.
Yes. I'll ask the customer for the number. In this case, you...
Okay, so my number is 0714.
I will always show you the phone to confirm, because I can type the wrong number and the money goes to the wrong person. So once I confirm, you've confirmed for me, I put the amount, which is 4,100. And the rest, I'm putting my security details, which is the PIN number to allow the transaction. What you're going to notice, the phone has a new feature, which we introduced the other day, to confirm, to allow me confirm or cancel, just in case I realize the transaction is going to the wrong person. In this case, it's telling me your names, and it gives me 25 seconds to either cancel or proceed. That at least is saving a lot of people money.
So what just happened?
You just received 4,100 shillings from the agent. And
I'm rich.
You're rich. You've got about $40.
Great. I gave you the money, and now I've got it as e-money, M-Pesa, of course, which is a Swahili word for money. So I have electronic money on my phone. And so that whole process for depositing the money took less than a minute, right? And the account opening process itself, how long does that take?
A new account takes at maximum 5 minutes.
Okay, I need to sign. So this is old school. I'm signing the book to confirm the deposit of 4,100.
So Brett, what you've just experienced is your activation of your M-Pesa wallet. And what KCB has managed to do is leverage on the amazing work that M-Pesa has done for almost 30 million Kenyans in terms of capturing from a non-branch location a customer KYC and giving them a wallet. But KCB has gone further to leverage and extend them a bank account where they can actually access credits and savings products. So we don't have to come back and ask the customer, give me your ID, sign here, you've got to come physically. No. We've been able to leverage off what you've just done, and you will see from your phone, you're able to open a KCB account and immediately access credit.
So is the phone number my account number then?
Yes, the phone number is your account number, even for KCB.
That's very cool.
As I found out when I was over there, it is certainly far from high tech. In fact, there's some basic elements to the system, but maybe it's actually the simplicity of the system that's made it so successful. And you now have got an actual bank account with KCB, where you can put your savings and your access card with no need to go to a branch, no need to redo KYC in the bank. It's all mobile-based.
Exactly. It was a 5 or 6 minute process in the Safaricom store. But from there, I could access a range of bank services directly through the M-Pesa SIM application.
For people in America who've never heard of M-Pesa, how do you describe it?
M-Pesa is, I can just sum it up as it's a transformation in terms of the efficiency in money transfer from one person to another, from account to another account. It's made life easy.
How has M-Pesa changed people's everyday life in terms of money? How do they talk about M-Pesa in their day-to-day?
I would look at it, the ability to like borrow loans through M-Pesa, something that wouldn't happen before M-Pesa. It wouldn't have just happened that you can do that through your phone. Because what would mean that someone would have to visit a bank and actually physically apply for loan and all that and wait for some few days. Currently, like with the partnership with KCB, an individual can just borrow a loan at the comfort of their homes. So it's made life easy. Yeah.
So how do people use M-Pesa every day? What are they using M-Pesa for?
People use M-Pesa to either use for buying goods. Like you go to a supermarket, you don't have to have physical money. You also pay like school fees. Yeah, or I pay, I'm sending someone money. If I was to pay someone money, I'll pay via M-Pesa. Those are in terms of daily needs. People use M-Pesa for basically that.
But it has forced the banks to adapt, but not in a negative way. Remember, M-Pesa was seen as a competitor to the banks initially, and they even tried to get the central bank to shut it down. Now, this is what Joshua Agara, the CEO of KCB, said about how M-Pesa has changed KCB's fortunes.
Brett, I would say yes. In reality, when there is challenge and pressure in the market, and especially for a non-traditional player like M-Pesa, you're always on your feet. So when I see markets have not evolved, it's because there isn't pressure. And we all love the traditional aspect of things are good, we're making margins in our branches. And I would say that, so M-Pesa as a catalyst has been a key driver for the way we change. But number two, and most important, our partnership. Because we realize that even as the largest bank, we had less than 2 million customers. So even in terms of financial inclusions, accessing the future customers of our own region will not work. So we've been able to do Safaricom and bring in, increase our customers fourfold. I mean, very few banks in Africa have increased their customers fourfold in 2 years. It could have happened in China, but I'm not sure in Europe, I'm not sure in the US. And this could be a first. So the partnership has accelerated. And what I would say to banks that are looking forward into building their own future banks or digital banks is not wait for a disruption of a technology partner. It's to be able to see, can we anchor our customer experience? Because customers ask me many things. They say, I want to be able to get a taxi from this place to somewhere else. I can't offer the solution. I tell them, go to the bank to make payment. It doesn't work. The customer is somewhere else. So that experience, if you're driving it, will change the way we perceive the risk. And that is an area that has been a big difficulty for banks. Generally, your risk champions will tell you you cannot go ahead. My greatest challenge and to overcome was my risk governance. So we have to remodel that and see how we can be able to deliver the solution we have with the constraints. But I'm happy to see that has already been overcome.
From just over 2 million customers in 120 years to 8 million customers in just 2 years, that's incredible progress. And this is only because of the partnership between KCB and M-Pesa. Now, for CBA Bank, one of KCB's competitors and the creators of the Mshwari savings account that we featured last year on Breaking Banks, they went from just 50,000 customers to over 12 million as a result of M-Pesa. That's incredible, phenomenal progress. Now, KCB has created their own agency model, or correspondent banking model, as we would call it in the banking space, just like M-Pesa. And while they don't have 200,000 agents like Safaricom, their agents can do a broad range of banking stuff in these simple mom and pop stores throughout Kenya.
We're here in a KCB agency, so this is a correspondent banking relationship, if you like, and you have 15,000 of these throughout Nairobi. What can a KCB agent do in a store like this? Not a bank branch, it's not an ATM, but what can they do that's similar?
So a customer can come and open an account, do a cash in and account and a cash out, that's deposit and withdrawal, do a bill payment, that is you can pay for your water, pay for electricity, pay for your pay TV. Yes, we do social payments. That's the government transfer program. Those are some of the services that we do. And when you are doing a withdrawal and not get money, you can either use your card or you can use it through your mobile, the KCB mobile app.
Sorry, what's your name?
Alice.
Alice. So Alice, you're a KCB agent, but you're also an M-Pesa agent, I see.
Yeah.
So how does KCB and M-Pesa work together in the store?
Other customers, they come in as M-Pesa, but when they see the KCB Mtaani agent, they may change their mind and take the KCB agent.
And can you transfer money between the two accounts?
Yeah, you can just deposit to M-Pesa and transfer to KCB and vice versa.
How many people do you get come into the store every day?
For KCB, around 20. For M-Pesa, they are quite a large number because that is most popular.
So what do you think in terms of M-Pesa customers?
I think with the time M-Pesa clients, they can change to KCB because that is a bank agent, and like M-Pesa, which is just Safaricom, and that is the end of it.
So what do you use? When do you use M-Pesa versus your KCB card, you personally?
When I go to a store with a swipe card, and maybe I want to use the swipe instead of M-Pesa, that is when I opt for your KCB.
And do you send money to your friends with M-Pesa, or is it, or you're buying goods and services with M-Pesa?
Sending to friends, but if they have the KCB accounts, you can do the transfer, the bank transfers.
She's a good salesperson for KCB, man. She won't let up on this KCB sales.
But you can see they sell other things as well, USB ports, smartphone covers.
Chocolate. You have chocolate? There's M-Pesa chocolate? What is that? They're just what?
Notebooks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have some iPhone, you have telephone accessories and things like that here as well?
Yeah, sure.
And you have Coke?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most common products you see around the world,
everywhere.
Right? Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Alice, for your time.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, you know, that is totally amazing. I didn't get a chance to try M-Pesa while I was in Kenya, so you took us through depositing some cash, but how do you use M-Pesa when you're out and about to pay for stuff?
Wow, that's a good question. So when we walked out of the Safaricom office where I'd got my M-Pesa SIM, I was now carrying around my iPhone 7 with the Safaricom SIM in it. I saw directly across the road a Planet Yogurt store. So I asked Eddie Nidichu, who was looking after me on the trip to Nairobi, hey, can we go over to the frozen yogurt store and use M-Pesa to buy some frozen yogurt? And he's like, okay, well, let's see if we can.
So the answer was obviously yes.
Okay, so we're here at Planet Yogurt, and I'm going to buy yogurt for myself and Eddie at this M-Pesa agent. I go into Lipa na M-Pesa.
That's it.
And then I'm going to buy goods and services.
Yep.
Now it's 707 shillings. I've got the till number. I have to enter the till number, 825030. Send. And it says, what's the amount? So it's 707, yeah? Send that. And I enter my PIN. Don't look at my PIN, Eddie. I'm not going to read out my PIN. Do you want to buy goods and services from 825030 for 707 Kenyan shillings? Yes, accept. And sending. Now, I got a confirmation. Did you get a confirmation as well? So you've got your own phone here that you get your confirmation on, and I get a, hey, thank you for visiting Planet Yogurt.
So that's a value-added
service. That's a value-added services that you can have in it. So Rita, how long did it take you to get the receipt from when I paid for it?
Confirmation, it's almost immediately. Once you get your confirmation, I get my confirmation. It's simultaneously.
What percentage of your transactions are done on M-Pesa in the store?
M-Pesa, it's actually 60% of transactions people use M-Pesa nowadays.
Wow.
Yes. People don't trust cash as much, so M-Pesa is the best so far.
So people trust M-Pesa more than cash these days in Kenya?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So tell me, what does Planet Yogurt do?
Planet Yogurt, we sell frozen yogurt, clearly, and fruits and candy. It's a fun thing to go, and it's self-service, so it's really nice.
Well, I'm going to try the yogurt now. Thank you very much, Rita.
You're very welcome. Enjoy.
And you know, Jim, the yogurt was great too. It was low friction, but again, did you hear those incredible stats about M-Pesa usage in the store?
I'll tell you what, that is really what throws me. You have 60% of their customers use M-Pesa, and they trust M-Pesa more than cash. That's in just 10 years. That's pretty doggone impressive. And that Planet Yogurt employee was certainly articulate as well. You really all looked out there.
Absolutely. She was great. She was really comfortable in front of the microphone. So that was fantastic. But it's interesting that we're talking about 2-3% Apple Pay adoption. These guys got 60% adoption of M-Pesa in the store at a typical retail like that. It's incredible. So anyway, back to Bob Collymore, the CEO of Safaricom. I asked him, where does M-Pesa go after this incredible success?
We're doing a lot of stuff around payments and trying to make it a lot less, a lot more frictionless than we have today. We will be moving into things like e-commerce, but you know, we tend to see ourselves as being a platform. I think when we started, we just wanted to kind of do everything ourselves. Now we realize that there are a lot of things that we can't do ourselves. So if you look at some other financial services like insurance, I mean, although you probably wouldn't call it insurance in a market like this, we can't do that ourselves. And so we work with insurance companies. So finding more creative ways of giving the poor access to financial services. You know, we don't really care about the people who, you know, the high income people who got alternatives. We're trying to find a solution for people who don't have the alternative of a banking system.
Financial inclusion and lower friction remain the central themes for the success of M-Pesa. But the effect on the economy of Kenya has been nothing short of mind-blowing. Bob Collymore told me that 40% of Kenya's GDP runs over the M-Pesa rails today. But he also said it had really influenced policymakers in Kenya as well.
Well, it's a few things. The first thing it did is it increased the velocity of cash. So once upon a time, you know, it used to cost the customer about $3 in 3 hours in order to move money from one place to the next. Now it's instant and it's almost free. The second thing it's done is it has given the policymakers more visibility of how much money there really is in the economy. In a country like Kenya, much of the economy is driven in the informal sector. And then the policymakers can't really see that. So it helped the Minister of Finance, it helped the governor of the central bank to get visibility and to make have more informed policies.
So Bob Collymore from M-Pesa and Safaricom, thank you very much for spending some time on Breaking Banks today.
It's a pleasure. Welcome to Kenya.
So this pressure has forced banks like KCB to adapt, but partnering with M-Pesa was just the first step. The incredible success of M-Pesa, quadrupling KCB's customer base in just 2 years, has made the bank pivot around technology.
It's interesting you use the word pivot. We don't normally describe the banks in that way. That's what we'd say of startups or fintechs or tech companies.
Well, hear what the CEO of KCB told me next, Jim, because it's evidence that I really think they have indeed pivoted.
So Vuma will be launched sometime this year. We started the process 2 years ago. The real challenge for us is to decide, everyone fights to keep Vuma inside the bank, put it within the retail bank, put it within the branch, use the branch as a basis to be able to change customer experience. I don't agree with that model. What we want to do is to create a different solution for our customers so that the experience, I am totally convinced that the future of our customer's experience does not lie in the branch. So in the short term, we're going to be able to deliver that through the mobile channel and other channels that come along. So we now set up a different business unit, house it differently outside where our bank is, with a different kind of governance structure, a different team. Today is a team of 20. We have brought in an advisory board that is different from what traditionally we will have, with new expertise and knowledge. It gives them the space to be able to build on solutions. I say fail fast forward. That's the kind of vision that they have to have in the fintech that we have. And speaking to the governor and the regulator, he's looking for opportunities. We are looking forward to be the first bank that will run and operate without a branch.
So let me hear this right. They've just started a fintech of their own, a separate company to the side of the bank with a separate governance structure, advisory board, etc. That does sound just like a fintech.
I think essentially it is. They have 20 people to start with. Eddie Nadichu, who we heard from earlier, he's their head of fintech. And you know, it's got support from the board, investment from the board. Now, they're working with companies like Deloitte Digital to build out their experiences. But, of course, I also pitched them Moovin while I was there.
Like I didn't see that coming.
Well, come on. That's how it works, dude. Anyway, it's still very early and they're still wireframing and doing early design concepts when I was there. But they are well down the road and very committed to this process. If I didn't know any better, I would say they're simply building a fintech.
Why don't you just call it a digital pure play, a branchless bank?
Well, we could. It doesn't make it a traditional bank. And I don't think they want to be a full digital bank, though. I think objectively, they're just looking how to build a mobile-optimized day-to-day banking experience through mobile phones, through smartphones. I mean, to be honest, this is exactly how we started out building Moovin. It is a first principles thing. Like the governor of the central bank said, it's not trying to fit an existing KCB set of products onto the mobile channel. They're looking at customer behavior around the mobile And they're simply trying to optimize the utility of the bank on that channel.
You know, essentially, it's not product origination or channel optimization or opti-channel banking. It's just how do we service the utility of banking through a phone? It is actually probably the most frictionless manner possible.
Exactly. So while I was in Nairobi, I went and checked out the fintech incubator scene there, and I tried to get a feel for what sort of competition this new KCB fintech startup Vuma might have from more traditional startups in Nairobi and throughout Kenya.
So while we've been in Nairobi, I popped into a startup space that we're familiar with from Hong Kong, but they now have their own presence or chapter here in Nairobi, and that's Meta. And I'm here with Aaron Fu, who's an old friend from Singapore, from the Standard Chartered days. But Aaron, what inspired you to come out to Nairobi, first of all?
I mean, there's just so much happening out here. I think even back in Standard Chartered days, we already saw a lot of very exciting activity happening in the payment space, happening in the credit space around here, which was so different to a lot of what you see in the rest of the world. So obviously, I had to come check it out, just like you are coming to check it out right now. And I think, you know, over the last couple of years that we've been here, we've seen, you know, really the ecosystem mature, a lot more founders coming through with a little bit more experience coming out of the banks, and a few actually started to, you know, open their eyes towards Asia. So Kevin, who's actually, you know, a founder, a mobile lending startup here right now, he's actually actively exploring opportunities in Vietnam and Indonesia as well. So, you know, Kenya is really even starting to export their fintech. So we really are excited to be here when it's, you know, going through this phase of its growth.
So Aaron, tell me a little bit more about the fintech scene here in Nairobi and how it compares with the fintech scene in, say, Singapore.
Sure. I think you put me in a tough position, Brett, because it's comparing my home versus my new home. I think, you know, the Singapore fintech scene is extremely diverse, as you well know. You see startups in payments and credit, but also in wealth management, also in trade finance, you know, also, you know, all throughout in equity trading, you know, in a whole bunch of different verticals. I think Nairobi, because it's really just starting out, I really do feel the focus has been on payments and on credit, and specifically looking at cross-border payments, and also looking at specifically micropayments. I think it's getting incredibly crowded. However, a really interesting thing that I see here is, you know, the quote that I always use is, you really only can get diamonds under intense pressure.
Now, Vuma is KCB's fintech startup. They spell it V-O-O-M-A, but it's very similar to the word Vuma in Swahili, which literally means buzz, you know, to create a buzz. So they're definitely trying to create a buzz with this new fintech startup from KCB. But you know what? I feel like they're going to have some tough competition from some of the locals hanging out at Meta. I want to thank Aaron Fu for joining us on the show as well. It's been a couple of years since I saw him in Singapore when he was a Standard Chartered. Actually, probably more than a couple of years. Okay, so Jim, what did you think of Kenya's experience and what we've learned from M-Pesa and how the banks have had to adapt to this?
You know what? It was interesting. I talked to you about this before, but 2 weeks before I went to Kenya, I was in Dubai, and there could not be anything more different than the experience you feel in Dubai and the experience you feel in Kenya. And it's nothing more than the fact that Dubai is an extraordinarily modern city with some very modern banking capabilities. I got to Kenya, it was a much different environment overall, but the technology and the ability to do banking was actually just as modern or more modern than what I saw in Dubai. And I think, you know, after hearing so much about M-Pesa, there's nothing like going down the road. I went on a safari. So we went two hours into the country, and everywhere along the way.
Into the desert, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you saw all the little shops and all the little, you know, mom and pop places, the food markets, and everything else. And everywhere there was an M-Pesa sign. It was one of these things where you go, you know, this is what we call the bank branch sign at home. But as you said, there's 200,000 agents. So almost everybody takes M-Pesa. You aren't ready for the fact that this is all done on a standard feature phone. We're not talking about advanced modern technology. We're talking about the basics, but they get it completely right. It's all about the customer. And that's pretty important stuff.
Yeah, you know, we often talk about artificial intelligence and, you know, things like mixed reality glasses and things like that on this show, all these high-tech things that are going to change the world. But here we are in Kenya with now virtually 100% of the adult population that have in the space of just 10 years gone from never having walked into a bank, never had a bank account, to now being fully included in the financial system with access to credit with just a 10-second onboarding process through a feature phone. That's incredible progress. When you see it, Jim, you see it in Kenya, you see it in China, they're sort of putting us to shame in the West, right?
Well, you know what? There's a couple single pure play things like PayPal, Venmo, Square Cash that you know I love quite a bit. But did you
get onto Venmo because of your son?
I did. And what was interesting, Square Cash, he uses Square Cash, and the kid down the street actually uses Square as well. It was funny. He goes, you know, Mr. Roost, could you pay me on Square Cash? And I said, well, or he actually asked, do you even know what Square Cash is? I said, oh, sure, I do. I speak on it. And he goes, could you pay me this year for lawn cutting with Square Cash? And I said, well, yeah, sure. Why? He goes, well, Mr. Roos, you've paid me with cash in the past. You've paid me with checks in the past, but I don't want to go to a bank. And Square Cash makes it so that I don't need to go to the bank. Tell you what, guys, there's a wake-up call.
Well, you know, this is the point. What I saw in Kenya is leapfrogging the financial systems in the US and the UK and Australia and elsewhere. They didn't take the existing system and iterate on it. We get into this iteration rut in banking. You know, we get, you know, a web came along and we're like, right, how do we put our products and services on a web page? How do we do that securely? And then mobile came along, and how do we get internet banking on a small screen that fits on an iPhone? You know, this is iteration. You know, you even have that quote from Ross McEwan, the CEO of RBS at the time in 2009, I think it was, where he said their busiest branch was the 710 from Paddington, you know, referring to mobile. And that's how we've treated these things. But these guys, they just started from scratch and they built something different. And that's really, if you're going to look for some way to characterize the potential for fintech, then it's M-Pesa in Kenya, it's Venmo and Square Cash changing behavior, it's Alipay and Weibao mobile money market front, it's Tencent WeChat with their red packets, the Lysi packets over Chinese New Year. This is what fintech is about, creating something new, not converting a piece of plastic, a credit card, and shoving it into Apple Pay, you know, for NFC. It's creating different behavior and different access and in the case of Kenya, phenomenal financial inclusion.
Well, it's about making the entire process simpler. At the end of the day, what I want is I want to take steps out of my day in the most simple way possible.
Well, I want to put a wrap on this phenomenal show that we've had from all the way down in Kenya. And, you know, Jim, thanks for joining us again on the show.
Yeah, thank you. And safe travels back to the States.
Yep. And, you know, I want to also say thank you to Bob Collymore, the CEO of Safaricom. I want to thank Joshua Gara and the board of the CEO and the board of KCB also, and Eddie Nadichu, who was such a fantastic host in showing me around town and educating me on the M-Pesa phenomenon and what's happening in Kenya. Thanks too to Aaron Fu from Meta and the guys at Meta from joining us, and all the others that helped pull this show together. If you like the show today, if you like breaking banks in general, please go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review telling everybody how fantastic the show is. It helps people find us on the iTunes systems, so I appreciate that. And if you want to check out some of our previous episodes, don't forget you can go to breakingbanks.com at any time and check out one of the old episodes. Thanks to Jim Maroos, who joined us. Tweet him out on Twitter, at Jim Maroos. And myself, at Brett King. And of course, if you've got questions or you want to engage us on the show, at Breaking Banks One. That's a wrap for this week. And thanks again for joining us on Breaking Banks.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of the latest in fintech news.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.